الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لقد كان في قصصهم عبرة لأولي الألباب. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. We explained a few instances. One is of Hazrat Abdullah Andalusi rahmatullahi, just when he had a thought, a negative thought, and that he thought that the Christians are so bad, they worship idols, and we worship one Allah. Allah didn't like that pride of that thought also, and what an ordeal he had to go through. Then we explained about Barsisi, who was a very, very pious person, but just where we don't follow the Shariat, the Deen, Parda especially, a person who can be so pious can also falter and go into the worst guna. And finally, he died without Iman also, which means that forever in Jahannam and the terrible punishment of Jahannam. And Jahannam is not just a five-letter word, but it is a reality. In one place in the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala explained, the believers and non-believers are always opposed to one another. Then Allah explains about the non-believers first, that in Jahannam, they will be given clothes of fire to wear. That means the clothes will be of fire. Today, just a matchstick flame we can't take, and your clothes are of fire. And then boiling water will be poured on their heads. One drop of boiling hot tea, not boiling also, just hot tea, how it burns us. And their boiling water will be poured on their heads. And that will cause everything in their stomach to melt and the skin to melt. And then there will be iron rods of fire with hooks on them, that whenever they will want to run away from that azab, they will be pulled back there. And it will be told to them, taste of the azab now. What you were doubting, what you had, you did not believe in, now taste of that azab. And on the other hand, the believing people, they will be given bracelets of gold and pearls to wear. Their clothes will be made of silk, fine silk. What a difference. Where the people of Jahannam, their clothes will be of fire. The people of Jannah will be having fine silk to wear. And they will make shukr that they were guided to the right words of Iman, Islam in this world. And they were guided towards the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala, let us realize this. And then we explained after that about Barsisi, about Ba'alam ibn Ba'ura, that also a very pious person, Mustajabu Da'wat. But when he also got the temptation that came to him, they just gave him a gift. And his wife encouraged him to accept the gift. What's the difference? They are giving you a gift. What's a gift? Today we also readily accept gifts. But many gifts turn out to be very expensive. It's a gift that comes to you, but now you have to, you are a slave. Al insanu abdul ihsan. And you forget everything and you just do whatever they want you to do now. So many gifts and many praises also are very, very expensive. You have to pay the cost very heavily. And if the cost is finally that you have to lose your Jannah and go to Jahannam, that is too much. You can't think of that at all. Allah Ta'ala save us. One other instance that is mentioned in the kitabs is that of Ta'alun Misri. He was a king in Egypt, in the history of Egypt. He had adopted a son that was known as Ahmadul Yatim. And this little boy had great qualities. He saw very pious, very intelligent, gives very good mashura, all good qualities he had in him. So he adopted him and he gave him great respect and honor and kept him very close to him. On his dying bed, the king told his son that this Ahmadul Yatim, you must also adopt him and treat him as your brother. keep him very close. All your matters make mashura with him and take advice from him and be guided by him. So consequently, he kept him very close and taught him and treated him like a family member. On one occasion, he told him, the king told Ahmadul Yatim that go to my bedroom and there is a jewel, a pearl, very expensive, go and bring it for me. So he went, and he had authority, he went into the king's bedroom also. But there he was shocked to see that the king's favorite slave woman, very, very beautiful, she was involved in haram with one of the other courtiers of the court. And he was shocked to see this, so that slave ran away immediately. And that lady, the woman, she came and fell at his feet and told him, you make this guna with me also. In other words, she didn't want him to speak. If he also gets involved in the guna, then she will close his mouth, his tongue, he won't be able to speak. He said, Toba, Toba. The king is so good to me, he treats me so well, and he has given me so much respect and honor in his special slave girl. How can I do this? That he has so much of consideration for the slave girl, and he loves her so much, how can I commit this guna? And at the same time also, he was a learned person. He kept ta'alluq with awliya, ahlullah, he should go to them. And he knew to cover the sins, the gunas of somebody, how great reward is there. So he kept it covered. He didn't let anyone know about this guna, what he had witnessed. So when now he went, took the jewel, he gave it to the king, that was over. After some time, as kings are, they marry a lot also, marry other women. So the king thought of marrying again. He married another woman, and naturally a new wife, he gave more attention to her. So then the slave woman, she thought, now this Ahmadul Yatim must have given my secret away. He must have told the king. Therefore, he got married to somebody else, and now he's not giving me so much attention. And I was giving attention all to his new wife. So she said, I'll definitely take revenge from him. So she wore all torn and tattered clothes, came crying to the king. King asked, what happened? What's wrong with you? She said, this Ahmadul Yatim, he tried and seduced me, raped me. And he tried to get me involved in guna with him. The king got very, very angry and thought of executing this Ahmadul Yatim immediately on the spot himself. But then he thought, as kings are those who are not only kings by name, but in quality also they have, it's not good for a king to do this himself, to kill him. So he thought that I will get one of the courtiers to kill him. So he called one courtier and he told him, I will send somebody with a tray to you, and that person will say that that I have said that you must fill this tray with musk, pure wonderful scent. You must fill it up with that. When that person comes to you, then you sever his head, you kill him. And you put his head in the tray and you send it to me. So he went. So then Ahmadul Yatim, the king told him now, gave him the tray and told him, go to this courtier and tell him that he must fill this tray with musk, with beautiful all the scent, musk, etc. So he was going out, and just as he went out of the courtroom, there was a delegation from outside that had come and wanted to meet the king. They had some need, some thing to speak to the king about, and they knew that the king treats this Ahmadul Yatim as his brother, and he is the right man who can intercede for us and take us to the king. So they spoke to him. He said, the king has sent me on a mission. I've got some work to do. They begged him and insisted on him and told him that work, give it to somebody else and you do our work for us. So just then he saw the same slave that was courtier who was with that slave woman in bed. He saw him there. So he gave him the tray and he said, go to the certain other courtier in the court and tell him that the king wants, he said that you must fill this up with musk. So he went with it and he told him, when you come back, you'll find me here. Then you give it to me. The king told me, I will take it then to the king. So he went, and that person, when he saw him, immediately he severed his head. He killed him as per the instructions of the king. He put it in the tray and covered it with a cloth. And he was coming now with it, and the Ahmadul Yatim saw him. So he told him that, give it to me. The king gave me this job, and this people's work is done. I will take it now to the king. When he was going to the king, and the king saw him coming with the tray, the king got a shock. He who was supposed to be been killed, he is walking with the tray. So when he came, and then the king opened the cloth, and the head of that person was in bed with that slave woman. So Ahmadul Yatim also saw it. So immediately he understood, this was a plot to have me killed. And Allah saved me, Allah, I didn't get killed. So the king looked at him and saw from his face that he has understood the whole thing. So he said, you have understood now that actually it was you that was supposed to kill, to be killed. Now what do you know about this person? The slave that others caught here, that he was now killed. What do you know? So then he said, king, I kept it as a secret. And it's not good to speak of the secrets of people. But now that you are asking me, this was the story. And he explained everything. So now the king became very angry on that slave girl of his, that she is the one who caused all this. So he called for her and he told her, speak the truth. What is the whole story? So then she owned up, she couldn't hide now. So then the king told Ahmadul Yatim, now you kill her. You cut her head. So this story, it's a great lesson for us. And what is that? That when we dig a hole for somebody, we fall in it ourselves. That slave woman also, she was also killed, executed. And the same, her lover who was there, he was also executed. And a person who is upright, he became even more the favorite of the king. And the king realized not only that he is sincere, he is honest, but also that he is a very good Muslim, keeping the secrets of people also. He did not disclose the secrets. So we also have to learn. In the hadith we are taught that in a different sense, that when we also dig a hole for somebody, we fall in it ourselves. In the sense that it comes in the hadith Sharif, that if you make baddua for somebody, you curse somebody, so that is you digging a hole for him. You want to destroy him. And then that person is not deserving of it. He is honest, he is upright, he is straightforward. Then that whole baddua falls back on you. The hole that you dug for him, you fall into that hole. And you have to now suffer the consequences. When that baddua doesn't go through to the heavens, to Allah Ta'ala, it comes back and it falls on the person who made that baddua. So we must be very, very careful that today this baddua also, Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali writes, that many mothers also curse their children. They have got a habit, the child is troubling, that made you suffer in life. Or anything else, children are children, they will trouble their mothers, especially more the mother than the father. They will speak back on their faces also. And when mothers give this baddua, then it has a very, very bad effect. It is said about Sudais, who is the Imam of the Haram, that when he was a small child, he should also trouble his mother. But this is a good quality that the mother should give always dua. Allah guide you. Allah make you come right. And his mother's dua, he became the Imam of the Haram. So mothers must give good dua, not curse their children. And Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali has written that there are those moments of acceptance by Allah, that whatever you say with your mouth, Allah accepts it just like that. And if it happens to that, to be that occasion, that you tell your child, may you suffer. Now this child suffers the whole life. He's paralyzed or whatever else. And now the mother suffers the consequence with the child also. And we don't realize it was our baddua. We will say he came in an accident. We will say he was playing sports and he got hurt. And that happened, but it was our baddua. So we must be very careful. It's also written in the kitabs of a certain slave who was on sale in the slave market. So a person went and buy, and he liked the slave. and the slave merchant, the one who was whose business it was, he was a good, honest Muslim. So he told him, the slave is good, everything, but he has got one weakness of his, that he carries tails. That is his weakness. That is to he disclosed the fault of the slave, which a merchant must do. If there's any fault in the goods, then he must tell the buyer, these goods they are, but they have got this fault, etc. On that, Hazrat Maulana Shah Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali said about one of his murid, this murid of mine, very pious and very good, but one weakness he has got in him. He thinks he's pious and he's very good. He is very good and very pious, but one big weakness, he thinks I'm pious and I'm good. And this is a thing which perhaps all of us we involve. We think we are very pious and very good, especially when we are at home. With regard to the family, then we put on a show that we are very pious. When we are teaching to our students, we think we are more clever than them also, more pious than them also. When we are with our murids, we make a show of our piety and that. So this is a great weakness to think that I'm pious. And one is, this is ujub. Takabbur, that I'm better than others, that is also totally haram. And to think I'm good, that is also haram. To be good is faraz, to think I'm good is totally haram. A person must have total humility that I am the worst at all times. And this is a thing that a person has to make effort. As we, the Nizam, the Ash'ar of our Shaykh, all those du'as which the Shaykh has to give to his, that is actually, it's a teaching of how the murid must become. These must be our objects in life. All which Hazrat has written, and it is a very high. If we follow that, and this ashar were said, and the request of the murid by the Shaykh, that must be our goals of life. So anyway, this person, then he bought that slave. He thought it's a small thing, carrying tails. It's not a major thing, and I'll be able to contain. I'll be able to control it. There is no big problem that he carries tails. Then it was his habit, so when he came, he had to carry tails. It was his habit, he had this bad quality in him. So he told his master who bought him now, that your wife has got an affair with somebody. The carrying tails, nothing, no reality in it. And these people, many of them who carry the tails, they are like spectators, tamashi. They make tamasha between people, make them fight, and they are like spectators now. They carry tapes from this side, tell that person this of true, untrue, half-truths, distorted method, they tell the other person. He thinks they tell this person. And then they just watching now. The tamasha, see them fighting, and they take their pleasure. But that pleasure is actually the fire of Jahannam. They light the fire, and they see now the people burning in the fire. They don't realize how they going to burn in the fire. So unfortunately, that is a thing not of today, all along. And it's not a thing that has gone away, that now man has become very modern, and his technology has taken him where? But in the technology of deen, he's gone zero. He's gone minus in the technology of deen. Dunya's technology, he's gone, what and what technology has done? But as far as deen is concerned, the highest technology of deen was Khairul Qurun, a period of about 240, 250 years. The time of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum was roughly about 100 years. The time of the Tabi'een, about 70, 80 years. And the Tabi Tabi'een, another 50 years. So about 230, 40 years, this was the greatest time in the history of the world. Such noble people who surpassed the malaika who were walking on the surface of the earth. So anyway, so these people who carry tails from one side to the other side, they are all this the scum, the dirt which floats on top of the water. And they just want to see all the filth and dirt. So he told the husband, your wife has got an affair with somebody, and she wants to kill you. So at night, you must be careful. Pretend that you are sleeping, and you'll see she will come with a blade, a razor, to slit your throat to kill you. And he told the wife, it was his habit to carry tail, and he went and light the fire that side. And he told his wife, your husband is in love with somebody. That is the work all, just carrying tail. And the way to cut out that love for that other woman that he has got, that every wife, when she comes to know, my husband has got something to do with another woman, then she tries her best to cut it out. So the way to do that is when he sleeps at night, you must go with a razor, a blade, and shave his beard. When you shave his beard, then the love of that other woman will go out of her. So she also listened. So at night she slept with the razor. He was pretending he's sleeping. And she came with the razor to shave his beard. And he knew as soon as she came close to him, he caught her hand. And she had the razor in her hand. And exactly as the slave told, she wants to slaughter you. She wants to slit your throat. So he killed her. That she wants to kill him, and she's then having an affair with another man, so he killed her. Her family people came, and they killed he. Then it was proven she had no affair, nothing. She was clean, innocent. So her family people took revenge from him, and they killed him also. So the scaring of tails looks like a small thing, and he also regarded it as a small fault. That it doesn't matter so much, but it got him killed, his whole happy married life he had, and in that happy married life, he killed his wife, and then he got killed also. So all these things, they are lessons for us. لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي قَصَصِهِمْ عِبْرَةٌ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. They are lessons for the people of intelligence. We must take lessons. This isn't for somebody else. All the stories of Barsisa, of Sheikh Abdullah Andalusi, many times we think other people. If we don't apply it to ourselves, when we think about Jahannam, we think Jahannam is for other people. And there's no question where we're going to Jahannam. We are 100% guaranteed no Jahannam for us. But if we take it upon ourselves, the Quran Sharif praises so many places in the Quran Sharif. قُلُوبُهُمْ وَجِلَةٌ. The true believers, their hearts are trembling all the time. They are tremors in their heart. أَنَّهُمْ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ رَاجِعُونَ. Just the thought that we are going to return to Allah. Just ask ourselves today, we are supposed to be those who are concerned of our Islah, those who want to be righteous, who are five times namazis, but today, whole day, did I think that I'm going to be returning to Allah? أَنَّهُمْ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ رَاجِعُونَ. We might have thought that I have to buy a washer for my tap. We might have thought, what's the cricket score if there's some cricket match? Many other things we must have thought. But did I think that I have to return to my Allah? And before returning finally to Allah, in this world, what will be my old age? We are seeing old people all the time. Some being cared for, some nobody to care for them also. And how their old age is going, the same thing worse than that can happen to me. Are we worried about that? How the mort of a person will come? That is the greatest worry, how my mort will come. Will Allah be pleased with me? Will Allah be displeased with me? How will my mort come? Then in the qabr, the life of the qabr. One time Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam came to the masjid, and he found some people laughing, giggling. He told them, if you think of mort, this condition will not come on you. You won't be laughing and giggling like this. But today, we prick other people, we make ourselves just to laugh all the time. And only that person is good company who's laughing all the time. Even if he's like a stupid fool, laughing for nothing. Anything, just laughing about this. He sees a person who's disabled, laughs at him, and makes a joke about him. How serious that is, that anyone else in a difficult condition, or somebody going through some difficulty, laughs about him. And that is common, that is with us. And not only the other ordinary people, good people, they also making jokes and laughing about other people. And then, so what will be our old age? How will our maut come in the qabr? Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that if you think of your qabr, then Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam said there isn't one day that the qabr does not announce and say, everyone, where our qabr is going to be, it is announcing to us and saying, I'm a house of wilderness. I'm a house of dirt, dust. I'm a house of insects. And when a good person passes away, then the qabr said, of all the people walking on the surface of the earth, you were the most beloved to me. Now you have been handed over to me, and you'll see how I'll treat you. And he becomes so spacious that as far as his eyes can see, he sees all the wonder. It's open so much, and all the namas of Jannat are open to him. And he's enjoying in that wonderful environment all the time. On the other hand, when a person who was disobedient, did not believe in Allah, and he goes in the qabr, qabr announces, of all the people walking on the surface of the earth, you were the most hated to me. Now that you have been handed over to me, you will see how I'll treat you. Then it crushes him so much that the rubs of one side go into the rubs of the other side. And that pain, who can ever imagine what that pain is? Yeah, Allah save us all. A person has got spine problems, he goes to the doctor, doctor examines, x-rays, saunas, whatever. They say that your bones are rubbing, bone on bone is rubbing. And that little what was required in between to keep them separate, that has worn out. Now bone on bone is rubbing, and you are going through that terrible pain all the time. That is just that bone. This one side rubs into the rubs of the other side. What will be the condition? And nobody gave us guarantee that we're going to be saved of that. But if we, and then if we do get any thought about it, do we do anything about it to save ourselves? Have we what a condition of the world in Palestine, what is happening? Has any one of us changed a little bit our lifestyle that I'll make two rakats namaz and make dua for them? Or anything else, that my luxuries, I will give up one luxury, one achar I will give up, one chutney I'll give up. My sleep, I'll get up 5 minutes earlier and make dua. All what is happening in the world, especially in Palestine, we blow a lot of hot wind. The Israelis, the Jews are so making so much zulm, how they bombing them, the innocent civilians they are bombing. That is all, just talk shop. And that was also, as Buzurg say, because talking is free. If we were charged for talking, then it was a different thing. Many of us will remember the time when on the telephone, that for every call we were charged for it. And especially distant, long distant calls, overseas calls, the charges were heavy. Now you have a contract and so many free calls, so many free minutes, etc. Now we don't realize. But when it was that time, then when a person is talking on the phone, he's watching his watch also. That every minute I know what I'm going to be paying. And there was a lot of discrepancy with the phone accounts also. Sometimes they overcharge you, all lot of. So a person was very worried. If talking we were charged like that, then we would control our talking. But because it's free of charge, we think it's free of charge. But the reality is, مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيمٌ عَتِيدٌ. That a person doesn't throw out, lepers actually to throw out. A word he doesn't throw out, he doesn't speak a word, but there's the farishta ready to note it down. If it's a good word, the malaika on the right write it, kiram and katibin. Otherwise, if it's a bad word, the malaika on the left write it down. So we'll have to answer for that in the qabr. And the qabr's life is not a matter of 5 years, 10 years, jail sentence of 10 years, how severe. Life sentence, how severe. And even the life sentence, how long? Is it 20 years, 30, 50 years? And then it's over. And in most cases, they come out on parole before time also. And the life, and the sentence in the qabr, ila yawmi yub'athun, till the day of qiyamah. So what will be our condition there? What have we done for our protection?
our namazas going to help us there. Our rozas, our zakat, our hajj, our tilawat of Quran, all these things. But how, Papa? Today, for today's day, all of us who are sitting, each one asks that my five times namaz, did I make it? What takbir-e-ula in the first saf? Did I read my Quran Sharif today? Tabarakalladhi will save us from Jahannam. Did I read my Tabarak from the Azab of the Qabr? Did I read my Tabarakalladhi? Yasin, have I read my Yasin today? Many good people, there is no tilawat in our lives. Allah give us tawfiq, inshaAllah.